Hey guys, before we jump into this episode, Mike and I just wanted to get on and acknowledge a tragic event that happened earlier this month.
Friend of the show, former guest, Knowledge Ra, passed away earlier in June, and you may know him. He worked the board at the Brooklyn Bowl shows, and in fact, he had just moved to go down to start going to school in Florida, and Brooklyn Bowl was still keeping him on the payroll. Because that's just what the kind of guy he was. And he was flying back up to Brooklyn. He was going to do the next Brooklyn Bowl shows.
Yeah, if you knew Knowledge, he was a big part of Massive Nights. I mean, he's the guy who did the sound, but he was more than just the guy who did the sound. He brought an energy to that stage and to the whole event that is really just undeniable. And we did get a chance to talk to him. He was such an awesome interview. A guy with a lot going on, a love for music, a love for making music and producing music and just spreading positivity.
And if you know Knowledge, he was just a great light. I mean, I'll never forget me and Gaspar talking to him outside Lake Street at 3 a.m. You know when you're talking to someone special, they just have a radiant light to them. And then he came on our show and we had some technical difficulties and Gaspar got disconnected and Knowledge was just... I wish we had it saved. He's just spurting off so much light, and he was kind of actually nervous, which I thought was endearing to be on our show. And then he came, and then we got him settled down by the time we hit record, and he just gave a great interview that you can go back. It was kind of the week of Christmas.
Here's a clip from that interview, and I think this clip kind of really highlights how much Knowledge really got what the whole study was about and what the community was about. Check it out.
The song that I heard was Massive Nights. I heard that song on YouTube. And I was like, oh, that's a cool song. You know, I like the call and response, you know, of the crowd to the artists and the band. And it just hit me. So it hit me differently, like hearing that song live and being the one to mix that song live on stage for them. And seeing the environment and feeling the love and feeling the, like, literally the joy, you know what I'm saying? And I think from that point on, Massive Nights just had a special place in my heart, man, you know, because I think they spoke to, you know, music is a universal language. And so I feel like that song for me spoke to whatever you dealt with earlier today, it doesn't matter. Just have a Massive Night tonight. Just have fun tonight. Let it all go. You know, whatever your troubles might be, whatever your stressors might be right now, just get a beer and have fun.
He'll be missed. And if you have any memories of Knowledge, we'd love to collect them. So if you could email us or message us or hit SpeakPipe at the end of this episode, that would be great. We'd love to hear it. To his friends and family, our deepest sympathies. And
he's just a guy who really gets the whole unified scene thing, man. He was a representative of the unified scene, definitely. And he will absolutely be missed.
Because we are all.
So before we start today, we just wanted to take this minute to acknowledge the Knowledge's passing. We're going to miss you, man. And here's one of Knowledge's tracks.
Once, maybe twice, do she get down? Gave a light smile for a night on a time. See her physique, beautiful form, godly. Why he possibly ponder the new Eve? Conceived memories poured into a being. The woman of my company praying she'll always come for me. Started attraction, a feeling everlasting. Begin infatuation, newest kind of addiction. Her intuition gotta be the one that's given by the angels in the heaven hanging out in Venice. She went and pulled me closer, showing off her skill with kissing. However, did she know the multitude of wishes, included positions and those I've only mentioned. Transitions, hustle within my vision. Dance floor of sorts, they can tango, of course. An opportunity new to me, what she do to me? I'll be your theme, indeed, I'll be your fiend. You're a fiend, yes indeed. I blow a moment, that's all that's needed to hold me. Within your memory, all eternity. A hero of a queen, my heroine indeed. A must to be in your prestige. Withdrawal effects, I suffer when you're missing. You're my addiction. New to me, you're feeling new to me. She got me tripping, giving every 60 seconds that I'm getting. Hold up a minute, let me offer her a description. A source of understanding why this man is in her hand. And she inherited a plane, now all of Venus is hers. Take a tour around the galaxy, her mind's preferred. As a vehicle, heated too, scorching off of what I do. Be the sun, she the moon, replenishing. Yeah. gone. I meet her lips and now I'm lifted. The way she move when I should roll, that man, that girl's gifted. I'm in a mission and arrested in her mission. Giving every ounce of everything with her permission. True, I'm winning, now back to the beginning. Another round of sound, steady traveling the clouds. I bet I have a 10, she's up and gathering crowds. Neighbors upstairs anywhere, hating us now. Cause I'll be your fiend, indeed, I'll be your fiend. You're a fiend. Yes, indeed. I blow a moment, that's all that's needed to hold me within your memory, all eternity. A hero of a queen, my heroine indeed. A must to be in your prestige. Withdrawal effects, I suffer when you're missing. You're my addiction.
Hi, this is Heather from New York, and you're listening to the Hood Rat Recap Podcast.
We got bored, so we started a podcast about the best bar band in the land, man. This is the Hood Rat Recap, and we are back. We are your steady stream of the unified scene, all the news and reviews of the band that you love, we love, and it may be summertime, but we're still wearing our jackets made out of rock star patches. We're still not allowed to play with matches after last week's pyro disaster, but hello, everybody. This is Stage Right Mike on the mic, and I can talk hold steady all night. And when I like to talk hold steady heavy, I like to throw up the rat signal. That's right. I said rat signal, and it must be pretty powerful because it's reaching all the way to New York because I see the Hood Rat Pack has assembled. And first off, sitting closest to me, I see the unified scene's very own King of Queens, Gasper. Gasper, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. But you know what? I've been trying to get people to call me Chuck Berry.
Why is that, Gasper?
Because I got that groove that's sweeping the nation.
How's that working out for you?
Not so good. Surprisingly, not so good. People keep calling me Charles in Charge. At this point, I just love making Kevin cringe.
The 13 people that can remember that TV show, who was the star of Charles in Charge?
Scott Baio.
Scott Baio. All right.
I mean,
we haven't called out Scott Baio yet.
God.
And that's the sound of our third mic and our producer, Kevin is whenever. Kevin, how you doing today?
I'm trying to hide from the flavor that's sweeping the nation all of a sudden. Thank God.
Sleep in the nation.
Sleep in the nation. I'd like to apologize to our listeners that this is how we greet you in our first 2 minutes of our episode. But welcome back, everybody. Hope everybody's been doing well. We got a good episode this time coming up with Buddy, who was down in Austin for the show. And for anybody who doesn't know, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but that show is affected by weather. And when that happened in real time, Gasper texted the Hood Rat crew and was like, they're evacuating the Hold Steady show. Everybody, what's going on? And he was very concerned, and I thought he was going to hop on a plane to run down there and dive in front of bullets in front of Craig and the band, but thankfully it was nothing that serious, just some rain.
Very concerned.
Before we get into our episode, which is great this week with Buddy, who was down in Austin, we do have to send a special Hood Rat Recap shout out to Jess. If anyone's noticed, we have a new logo for the podcast, which is pretty much available everywhere. and Jess in the UK did a great job designing that for us and drawing it. It's really something special. We love it here at the show. We hope you guys enjoy it. And we're going to have her on the show in a couple of weeks to talk about it and talk about our love of the whole city. And she's got some more really great pieces coming that are just truly blew Mike, Gasper, and I away when we saw them. And we can't wait to share them with you all out there and our listeners because she did an incredible job. So Jess, wanted to call you out at the top of the show. Thanks so much for your work on those.
Yeah, we love it, Hurricane Jess.
All right. You guys want to jump right into this?
Yeah, we got a lot to cover. Let's get into it.
Let's get to it.
Joking around, I see the crowd you're hanging with, and those kids don't seem positive. Don't all the cigs make you tired? You know I never ask you to change, I only ask you to try. I know you're gonna do what I know you're gonna do.
All right, so today we're talking to Buddy from Georgia. How's it going, man? Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Doing good. Glad to be here. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. So you're going to talk to us about the Austin show, but before we get into that, why don't you tell us a bit about how did you come to find the Hold Steady? Like, how did you become a fan?
Yeah, I've been into them a while. I first heard about them in 2008. I'd always been like a big Drive-By Truckers fan, and a friend of mine told me, well, if you like these guys, then you got to listen to Hold Steady. And I remember the first song I ever heard was Constructive Summer. And it was on their MySpace page. You know, if you remember MySpace had, you could like load songs on your page.
So much and better so that than was a, Facebook, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was the boss for like a year. And then they announced the tour with Drive-By Truckers in like the fall of 2008. And they were going to play a show in Tallahassee. And so my friend Greg said, all right, you got to go. You got to see this. And so I said, all right. And he burned me CDs of like the first four records. And it was like a 3-hour drive to get to Tallahassee and listened to them in order and then went to the show. And Hold Steady kicked Drive-By Truckers' ass that night, which which I'd never seen before. I would have never expected to happen. And took some of my friends with me. And my friend Casey had never heard them before. But she said, if you ever had a band, you would be that guy. And pointed up to Craig. And I was like, yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. So you got like a crash course basically on the way down to the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I dove right in.
Awesome.
So this show in Austin seemed like it didn't exactly go off without a hitch. Have you been to Austin before?
Yeah, it was my first time in Austin. And so I went with my friend Mike from Roanoke. I know he's been on the show with you guys before.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And
oh,
We got in two nights early, and we went to see Billy Strings the night before on Friday night, and that was a really good show. And then for Mountain Goats and Hold Steady, it was an outdoor venue, so we all got in line and got in. It's more of a Mountain Goats crowd than a Hold Steady crowd. You could tell just by the way people were dressed. And Mountain Goats started, and probably got six or seven songs in. The weather looked fine, and then the sky opened up, and just... It's like monsoon drenched everybody.
I was going to say, how long, I mean, I was following on Instagram as it was all happening in real time as they were saying delays and we're going to come back. So how long was the actual rain delay?
It was more than an hour because I guess they had to get like clear radar before they could start letting people in. And then it still took a long time because they had to check everybody's ticket again as they went in. And so it was almost 11 by the time that Mountain Goats started back up.
It's been a minute since I've been to Stubbs. So it's like an outdoor, but it's like covered with like a shed aluminum top. Is it still set up that same way?
Yeah, it's got a shell that probably covers maybe the first 20 or 30 feet of it. And then there's like a couple of trees and then it goes back up towards the backyard. Yeah, so... Mountain Goats had gone on and played probably six or seven songs, and then, you know, they finished one song, and some guy came out and talked to John, like got in his ear, and then John came up to the mic, was like, "All right, you all have to leave. There's going to be a storm, and you all have to get out of here right now. We're being evacuated." Luckily, we got some special treatment from Josh, and we were able to get our merch before we got out.
It's so you know it's funny yeah. the when I saw the announcement that the show was interrupted, somebody was posting in the Discord app, and that's all that came out: Hold Steady Show being evacuated. And unfortunately, in this day and age,
like, that was all you heard.
Yeah, so my mind went right away. Like, is everyone okay? Like, you know what I mean? Like, large crowd. You're saying the place is being evacuated. I didn't even think rain. I'm like, oh my God. Like, is there like a shooter there? Is it like, did something bad happen? And like, then later it came out, oh, it's due to weather. I'm like, well, that's not an evacuation. Like, that's just a postponement. Yeah. But I'm glad.
Meanwhile, he's texting Mike and I real time as it's happening. We're like, what's going on? And like,
yeah.
Making it like the band's under attack and terrorism. And like, all of a sudden, you know, the Craig's fighting for his life. And it was very touch and go for Gasper for a minute there when he read the initial.
We would have had to road trip to Austin because no one's fucking with my band, man.
I literally said that. I thought he was going to get on a plane to fly down there to make sure the band is alive in one piece. I even texted him. I'm like, are you on a plane right now?
Yeah, I texted Brendan, who handles all their social media, like during the thing. And I was like, how terrible is this for you right now? And he just wrote, this is terrible. Because everybody's bombarding, you know, the Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, you know, what's going on, what's going on, what's going on.
Oh, I can only imagine.
It's also interesting to me that they let the Mountain Goats kind of make the announcement that you have to leave. Not like an official representative of Stubbs, not like somebody else. They let the singer in the opening band be like, all right, everybody, you got to go. So like, because that gets everybody even more excited, like, as opposed to like stopping the show and letting like an official sort of rep come out and say, hey, we know what's going on. Just like the singer of the band who's kind of like trying to get through a show is like, all right, everybody, you got to go. Thanks. 7 songs in.
Yeah, well, we knew it was real because as soon as he finished, like, all the dudes in yellow shirts, like, started not pushing us, but, like, surrounding us, like, get out, get out, get out, get out. So security handled us.
So where did you go? Where did they make you go?
They said, you don't have to go home, but you got to get out of here. And so our hotel was probably 5 blocks away, so we, Mike and I got on those little electric scooters and skidded our way back down to our hotel, and we're going in, and there's, I guess Austin's big for bachelorette parties, so there's this big bachelorette party in the lobby just looking so sad, and I was like, I feel you. Hopefully it works out for you. And so we're drenched at that point, so we changed clothes and just kind of start reloading Twitter over and over again to see, is this show actually going to happen? You know, because we're obviously hoping that it's not going to be rescheduled because we're flying out. And finally, we got the news that Mountain Goats was going to be playing 2 songs and then Hold Steady was going to get a full set. So we're like, heck yeah, let's do this. And so everybody got back in line. They had to like recheck everybody's tickets. So it was kind of a real hassle to get back in.
Oh, wow.
And Mountain Goats went on, and they played No Children, and then they did This Year, and Craig came out for the end of it and sang.
Yeah, so they only get the 2 songs, the Mountain Goats, then?
Oh, no, they played before the storm, 6 or 7 songs.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, they kept their stuff out to do the 2 big songs before Hold Steady came out.
Awesome. Yeah, I love when Craig does This Year with them. That's I like that version. Now when I hear the regular version of the song, I'm like, I want to hear Craig on it, you know. So
yeah, they did the thing where they did the it, and it almost killed me at the end of it. So everybody was going crazy part. For that. Yeah.
Now, you said you went with Mike from Roanoke. Are you the other guy from Minnesota from the Woo, the Woo incident?
Yeah, the preemptive wooers, yeah.
You're like a legend, man.
Yeah.
Like, between you and Mike, you pretty much put that on the map.
Yeah. He's in charge of the shirts, but yeah, the Woo crew is pretty strong.
It's a founding member of the Woo crew right there.
Yeah, we're accepting applications. Anybody who wants to woo inappropriately.
Well, join up. We could hear you guys on the First Avenue recording, really. I mean, you still can go back and hear you guys on the First Avenue recording pretty good. Is that the one where we heard it on Gasper?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where Gasper had the Ric Flair shirt, I remember.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I remember seeing Galen and Steve just laughing as we're doing the woos after every single lyric. And Craig's kind of like shaking his head, no, no, not yet, not yet. And so we've cut the woos down to mostly the appropriate times, but you still have to have a few inappropriate woos.
Yeah, that show was like a losing battle for him, because like you saw him trying to control it, and then he was just like, ah, just let them do what they want to do.
There's more of them than there is of me.
Well, that was the first time they ever played the song, so that was probably a better reaction than just if they would have played it and everybody just stared back at him like deer's in a headlight and like, what song is this? You know, so right. They should be happy with the results.
Yeah, I think they'd have been disappointed if nobody wooed.
Right. Yeah. Well, how do you not see that coming? But I remember when that song first came out, they were saying that they didn't associate that as like a sing-along part because it was a keyboard part. And
right, yeah.
Everyone thought it was someone saying woo, but, you know, I mean, how do you not see that coming? Knowing this audience, but...
Sometimes you just need a woo.
Every morning we burn the bread. Walking down to the water search. See the seagulls eat cigarettes. Check your breath in a spoon. All the stuff on the storage shed.
So the electric scooter thing is big in Austin. I was recently in Nashville for the Nashville shows. And that was my first time seeing the scooter craze out there. Like, is it as big in Austin as it is in Nashville?
I think it's bigger, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it was like, my experience with that was like, all of these people just on these scooters, like, blasted drunk. And I'm like, this can't possibly be safe. And then, like, you would periodically come to these corners, and there was all these scooters, like, laying around like it was somebody's lawn, and this was the 50s, and everyone was over for a party, and they left their scooters on their lawn.
Yeah, every time you get one from the app, it says, all right, don't drive drunk. You're not drunk, are you? Like, no, we're not. You're not going to make me blow or anything, are you? Just believe me on this one.
I will say I would love to see Mike from Roanoke on a scooter. I think that would actually be a lot of fun. He's a pretty big guy like me, so.
We had to ride him the whole weekend because he forgot to pack socks, and so he got this giant blister on the bottom of his foot. And oh, wow. So we weren't able to walk, and so we ended up scooting everywhere. And the downtown streets are one way, and I was just following Mike around the whole time because he knew the area better than me. And he starts going the wrong way down like 6th Street in downtown. And I'm following him. I'm like, I don't think I should be doing this. I also am not supposed to be on the sidewalk. And a car's just coming right at Mike. And he's not, it's like he's playing chicken with him. And this dude is like just throwing birds up at Mike as they're coming closer to each other. And finally, and yeah, Mike won the game of chicken because the guy swerved out of the way.
Oh, man. So getting back to, you were talking about the whole confetti game in Austin, and you said it was a little light, actually. And it's funny because we were in the Boston show, and I noticed the same thing. Do you think there's been a shift since the incident out in Portland where basically confetti became an issue, or it was just the way it was that night because of the rain?
There was not a lot of confetti. I think maybe just people weren't prepared for it. Mike and I had forgotten to get ours, and we talked to a guy the day before, and he said, don't worry, I got confetti. You'll be all right. So we didn't have to go to Party City. And then as Hood Rat went on, we found him, and he handed me a package of metallic confetti.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I was like, this is against confetti kit. You know, I can't do this.
Good call.
Luckily, it wasn't like the shaved ones. It was the ones that are shaped like stars. And so I decided, all right, it's outside. I'm not going to throw it at their equipment. I'm not going to throw it at them. We're all already kind of soggy anyway. I'm going to throw it. And so I did. I took it and threw it during Hood Rat, and there were only a couple of other ones up there. And then I guess everybody threw theirs for that because there wasn't any left for Killer Parties.
Yeah, this could be the first show where I've heard about wet confetti. I suppose if it was raining, the damp confetti would be a little different ball game there. Yeah,
right. Yeah, we always get the sweat, but not always the wet confetti. Yeah, I think it was just the crowd. I don't think it was people reacting to Confetti Gate. Because with that, I think there may be some people who are like, okay, we won't throw confetti anymore. But I think there's more people that are like, screw this, we're going to throw as much confetti as we possibly can. So I think when we get to Brooklyn, there's going to be lots and lots and lots and lots of confetti.
Yeah, I was going to say, Gasper, I think you're kind of biased. I think Brooklyn's got the biggest confetti game. I think everywhere else is less than that, I believe so.
I think it's just Brooklyn Bowl it's just the culmination of the whole year. You know what I mean? Like, it's all these shows are cool. I'm like, I can't wait to go to Chicago, and I've seen some awesome things this year, but like, nothing beats Brooklyn Bowl in my opinion. I mean, I haven't been to the Weekenders, so maybe the Weekenders could beat Brooklyn Bowl, but I'm biased. I'm from New York. Brooklyn Bowl is the best show, in my opinion.
Your opinion may change after the festival, though, so that might become your favorite.
That is true.
You know, now that there's a Hold Steady positive jam fest, that might trump everything.
Cool. For me, I've done both of them multiple times, and Brooklyn Bowl wins.
Over the Weekenders?
Over the Weekender, yeah.
Really? Okay.
And two reasons are you're more likely to get weird, you know, stuff that's not ever on the set list in Brooklyn. And then the other is Lake Street, you know?
Right.
There are places to go in Brooklyn, but it's not Lake Street.
Right. That's hard to beat, for sure. But
and also, they close really early over in London. There's no,
right, I've heard that.
That is true. They're not there as late. That is true.
Definitely a different vibe. But like Kevin was bringing up the show upstate, and not to get sidetracked, but we didn't mention this the last time, and I had meant to. When I ran into Craig at the whiskey event, we were talking about how things have changed at Brooklyn Bowl because of COVID. I hadn't realized this, but Live Nation bought out 51% of Brooklyn Bowl. So I think moving forward, the Brooklyn Bowl shows are going to be ticketed through Live Nation and ultimately Ticketmaster, which brings a host of other problems that the world is trying to deal with right now. I wonder if this upstate show is the answer to what happens if Brooklyn Bowl stops. Because I think they want to keep going, but I could see how the problems with ticketing and things like that, if they don't get resolved, might change the whole vibe of Brooklyn Bowl and Massive Nights. Like, do you think an upstate, like, outdoor festival with a bunch of other bands could become the replacement for the New York spot?
Well, I hope not. I hope everything's cool with Brooklyn Bowl. I hope they don't put weird rules on and restrict the wristbands.
It's just one of those things. Like, I get it. It's with COVID and everything, that club, like so many other places, was in danger going under, and that was the way out, was taking the Live Nation money. But it does create these other problems. And it's interesting to see how it'll play out. I also hope that Massive Nice does not go away because it's my favorite time of year.
Are you guys like me when you go on to buy tickets? Do you say like swear words like you didn't even know you knew? Because that is the most stressful 5 minutes of my whole life is when I go on to buy Hold Steady tickets. And they want you to pick out all the lampposts. And I'm like, is that a corner of a lamppost? Is that not a lamppost? You know, I just get so stressed.
I am not a robot.
Is everybody like me or no?
Yeah.
I've got the password like in the clipboard. So all I have to do is like control F to put it in, or control V to put it in there. And so like it saves me like 1/4 of 1 second. And that way I can feel like I'm doing something better.
Listen, sometimes that makes a difference, bro. Like when you're talking about the I am not a robot thing, like I always find that like the picture that like it's a traffic light, let's say, and they're like, you know, click on the picture of the traffic light, and the squares, there'll be a square that kind of touches the traffic light, and I'm like, is that a square I'm supposed to pick? I don't know. And it freaks
me out.
That's
exactly what happens to me every time.
I don't have time to do this over. I have to get this right now. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, so let's get into the Hold Steady set. What'd you think, man? Like, what were the highlights for you?
Well, we once we heard that it was only going to be one night, we kind of knew it was going to be pretty much a meat and potatoes set list. But for me, like, the best part were the new songs. Like, Carlos Is Crying is probably my new favorite live song for right now. The I Love You, I Feel You yelling at each other. It works perfectly.
Were the new songs received really well down there in Austin?
I think so. It was pretty much the ones that have been getting a lot of play anyway. I think it was after Carlos, it was Understudies and Sideways Skull. And so, I mean, Sideways Skull seems just like a regular set song at this point. So everybody knew that and was singing it. It was good to go.
I agree. There's such a weird divide on Carlos Is Crying. It's like it seems the fan base either really loves it or doesn't know what to do with it. And one of the questions I had kind of jotted down to ask you was, so we've been paying attention to where it comes up in the set and what it's surrounded by. And I think this is probably the best placement in the set so far. So you got it, they go from Don't Let Me Explode into Carlos Is Crying and then into Constructive Summer, which I could see really working. Like, there's... Do you think that influences how you felt the song was, or that was just the song you were looking forward to hearing?
It was more what we're looking forward to hear, but also we got excited from hearing Don't Let Me Explode because it's got the Dallas reference, so it has a Texas connection, and then it kind of has the fade out that worked really well into the start of Carlos. So I think I think people were excited for it.
And I think each time they play it, people are going to be more excited for it. And as with all songs, as they start to tinker with it, and it just finds its groove. But that's been a controversial one, Carlos Is Crying. It's been interesting to watch.
Well, I'll tell you, the end of it going into the beginning guitar of Constructive Summer was pretty badass.
Awesome.
That seems like it plays well. Did they do an actual encore break at this show, or because it was delayed did they just play straight through?
No, they, like Craig said, like, we're not doing an encore, we're just doing these, and then went in to Stay Positive. So we knew that we had been told that the curfew had been extended till 1:30 to accommodate us, and it was like, 1:20 or whatever. So we knew that there wasn't time for a full 4-song encore.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you're still getting a full 21 songs in a set, so you're missing the 4-song encore, but with that big of a delay, that's still pretty good, I think. They do a pretty good
job. Yeah, that's way better than we thought it was going to end up, as we're sitting there waiting for news.
And so the gothy Mountain Goats fans only got 8 songs, is that correct?
I haven't gone back to check setlist.fm, but that's about what I remember.
Wow.
That's so weird, because I don't picture Mountain Goat fans being goth fans. Like, that's a weird connection. I mean, they have that record. It's just weird.
Yeah. I guess they were extra gothy when they left.
I mean, I'm looking at Setlist FM right now, and it's saying they did 13 songs. They came back and did 2 after the break for Inclement Weather, which they actually list on Setlist FM, which is kind of funny.
Okay, well, so that's more than
I don't know if that's correct.
That's
or,
not bad.
Then. You know, Setlist FM is put in by people, and depending on how much they drink depends on how wrong it can be. Yeah. So,
but I mean, in fairness, and I don't know if if you've been to Mountain Goat shows, Kev, but like, they're kind of on par with the Hold Steady. They probably have more songs than the Hold Steady at this point, because that guy churns out records like every other second. But there's so many songs that they tend to play a big show like the Hold Steady would. So even 13 songs is going to come up feeling kind of short, I would imagine, as a Mountain Goat fan.
Yeah, he releases 13 songs like every 2 months. So that's
right.
They really release a lot of music. Yeah.
So speaking of the goth clothes, I made a special shirt for this one. I know we're not a visual medium, but I got a print of Mosh Pit Josh on a shirt.
Oh, that's awesome!
That's awesome. Yeah, he's slinging the White Claw into the crowd. And so when I walked up to Josh, I just was like, "Hey!" and turned around, and he doubled over laughing.
Now, are those obtainable, those shirts, or is that a one-off?
This is a one-off. I guess we could make more, but like I found like some company on Amazon where you can just upload a picture and they will make it like the entire shirt. And I thought about doing a band one, but then I was like, well, Josh, I think Josh is more niche. I think it'll go over better.
That is pretty good. I'm not going to lie. If you make a couple of those, I would definitely get one.
Yeah. Get a whole series of them. When the shock of roof rise, the king of the quake, knew that we'd arrive at the unified team of a riddleless victory. They were there too. One thing you started with a policy jam, another thing you see on through. Could have done this. It wasn't.
So guys, I'm kind of excited. There's been a segment we haven't done in quite a long time. I think I'm going to have to explain it again. But we have a segment called From Meatloaf to the Billy Joel. And this is just basically, we have our guests kind of give us a group that they that Hold Steady fans might not be familiar with, but that really would pair well with the Hold Steady, or something a Hold Steady fan might easily be able to switch over to. Buddy, I heard you have a selection from Meatloaf to the Billy Joel.
And the Meatloaf to the Billy Joel. Certain songs, they get so scratched into our souls.
Yeah, something in between there. it's American Aquarium. They're band out of Raleigh, North Carolina. They've been playing since 2005, 2006, I think, and they're one of those bands that plays like 200, 250 shows a year, just really out on the road. But the lead singer, BJ Barham, he's got great lyrics. He's got a lot of characters in his songs that are like Hold Steady characters, but the difference is that they're all just himself. Like he's the druggy guy who's trying to fix his life up together. But There's a song with a line that's Whiskey on the Rocks and Adderall. And so that would fit perfectly in any Hold Steady song.
I just sent that song to these two guys last month because I was like,
oh, that's that was the pick.
That's
Burn, Flicker, Die is that one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Burn, Flicker, Die. I listen to that song just as much as I'll listen to a Hold Steady song. That's a really good song. Yeah.
Yeah, that whole record is so good.
Yeah. Abe Lincoln's awesome. Another good song. It almost sounds like a sequel to that song. I like, yeah.
Yeah, St. Mary's is good on there, too.
I checked them out a bit. They definitely have a bit more of a southern twang to them. They reminded me, to an extent, of a Slobberbone, like, in that vein.
Yeah, probably not quite as raucous as Slobberbone, but, yeah, definitely the same vein. They've got a pedal steel. Probably more slow songs than Slobberbone, but still really good. And he, the lead singer, is definitely a Hold Steady fan. He, during COVID, he did like 2 months of just covers to post on Instagram, and he did You Can Make Him Like You one of the days.
Oh, awesome.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Fun.
Awesome. So do you have a particular song you would recommend as a jumping off spot for someone trying to get into American Aquarium?
Yeah, definitely Burn, Flicker, Die.
Bill prescriptions in the bathroom stall. Red-headed women and alcohol. Said ain't so, said ain't last call. A whiskey on the rocks and Adderall. A whiskey on the rocks and Adderall.
That's the name of the record too. That's the one I would have any Hold Steady fan jump right in with.
All right, cool. Any other highlights of the band that you would point out?
I Hope He Breaks Your Heart. Do you like that one? That's a pretty good
one. That's a great one. That's what they play at the end of most of their shows. And they've got a good fan. They've got a really good fan base that yells the lyrics back at them. So if you go to a show, you'll definitely feel comfortable. You won't feel out of place at all.
I was going to say something controversial. I was just going to say, I think they're a better match to the Hold Steady than Drive-By Truckers, because I try, I just can't get into Drive-By Truckers.
I could see where you're coming from on that. sort of lyrically, but as far as DBT quality, we're gonna have to agree to disagree on that one.
Respectively, disagree.
I mean, funny enough, they are playing with the Drive-By Truckers, so apparently they feel they're closer to Drive-By, Mike, than you might like to think. At the Salt Shed, no less. So that's if you want a road trip twice.
That would be a good show. That would be.
Yeah, well, you know, you guys have heard Craig tell the story that what made him decide to get in a band was one of the things was he went to see DBT and just saw how much fun they were having on stage. And he was like, oh, I got to get a band back together, and called Tad and started writing or started playing some stuff.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
They are going to be in the area, Gasper, in the end of September. So.
Oh, awesome.
If you want to go see American Aquarium, we could go.
Sure. I will go to see American Aquarium with you. Kevin just volunteered himself for a show.
I didn't say I would be there, but I'm saying if you wanted to go.
Yeah, they're playing a show on Pier 17 with old 97s, DBT, and American Aquarium, I believe.
Oh, that sounds like a great show, actually. Oh, I love old 97s. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, this just says the rooftop. Oh, that is in the city. Yeah, you like that venue. I was saying they're playing the Paramount in Huntington on the 27th, or Thursday the 28th at Pier 17. So you have your choice.
It breaks your heart, and I hope you cry all night, and I hope you feel the way I do now.
All right, so Mike, we're going to play another round of Who the Hell is Craig Singing About? I hear you got another one picked out for us.
Yes, I do. And I'm going to kind of do this one backwards because you'll definitely recognize the name. But I thought I'd start it out with a trivia question. So on this version of Who the Hell is Craig Singing About, he's singing about an actress that's a Cosby that was on a Cosby Show spinoff, and she was on two Matrix movies. So do you guys have any guess about who the hell Craig is singing about?
Ooh.
It's got to be Jada Pinkett, right?
Or is it ding, Lisa ding, Bonet? Ding. Oh, is it Jada Pinkett?
Jada Pinkett, right. Wow. So as always, I made this too easy. Our buddy's just really good at that.
So they just got back from up in Boston, Massachusetts. The girl I seen your friend, she looks nothing like Jada Pinkett. I think he got something in those cigarettes.
But I think it was really... It's on Sweet Pain, so that came out in 2004, right? Yeah. So I thought it was pretty interesting that he was singing about Jada Pinkett already when at that time she had just been on. Do you guys remember A Different World, that TV show?
I totally forgot about that show. That's what kind of threw me for a loop because the Matrix should have clued me in, but I totally forgot about A Different World and didn't realize Jada Pinkett.
Well, I think on Matrix, is it called Matrix Revolution? She's listed as the 30, IMDb has her listed as the 33rd actor on that list. So was she in that movie? I didn't see that movie. Was she in it for 5 seconds?
Yeah, she was like Morpheus's like ex-girlfriend. And then they were both like ship captains.
And then she probably went online and overshared about Morpheus or something, as she is willing to do. But just kidding.
It's funny too, because in that time of her career, which is, she was in a metal band, Wicked Wisdom, that like had a 4-year run and even played Ozfest 1 year.
Oh,
in that time frame. And I actually met her and Will, and somewhere I have an old photo of me and Will from when she was in her metal core band playing at an Ozfest.
I was at that show with you, Kev. That was a weird one.
Yeah.
We're all taking a risk here putting her name in our mouths, you know.
That's true.
The stories keep going strong.
Okay. So and I have a follow-up trivia.
Okay.
So Craig was singing about her. Who is older, Craig Finn or Jada Pinkett?
Ooh. Well, I know Craig is a little more than a year older than me.
I'm going to say Jada's older.
Okay. Buddy says Jada's older.
I'm going to say she's younger. I don't think she's over 50 yet.
I'm going to go Craig's older.
Okay. So we have two for she's younger and one for she's older.
So Jada Pinkett. Yeah. So Jada Pinkett was born in September of 71 and Craig was born in August of 71, so he is 27 days older than her. So he was singing about a younger woman.
Yeah, I knew Craig was older.
Trick question.
Congratulations.
Got one right. Even though I thought it was Lisa Bonet, which who would have also been older.
All right. She's dating Aquaman, so okay.
That's all right. That keeps it young.
He's fully entertained. He's bleaching out the blood stains. He's got diamonds in the drain. She said that she was coming, but she mostly just made hard, fast noises. It kind of sounded like the locusts.
It's time for everybody's favorite game, Diamonds in the Drain.
Yeah.
Our guest contestant today, Gasper, Mike on the mic, and Buddy, special guest, filling in today. So, Gasper, why don't you roll the dice and let us know what song we're going to be picking from either Thrashing Through the Passions, Open Door Policy, or The Price of Progress. We're going to break it down. Keep in mind, we've already done track 2 and track 5, so if those come up,
it's a reroll.
They are.
And this game has been sweeping the internet. Everybody's getting in on conversations.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of comments on this game more than anything.
All right, so here we go. 10.
So for The Price of Progress, it's Fly Over Halftime.
Cause you're gonna go rabid if you keep getting bit by the rat race. You'll be fighting and sniping.
Open Door Policy is Hanover Camera.
This is gonna be a good one. And then for Thrashing Through the Passion, it is Confusion in the Marketplace.
Princess came to breakfast looking puffy. Prison zone. Someone's little sister had me march into the metro.
All right, so just to review the rules, we're going to give a gold medal, silver medal, and bronze medal to each track in our order of preference, and we're going to explain why we award those medals at the end. We tally everything up, and we see who is the winner. So who's going to go first?
I mean, Buddy, as a guest, you should go first.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to have to go in chronological order. Confusion, gold. Hanover, silver. Flyover, third. Nothing against Flyover Halftime. I just haven't heard it live yet, and so I don't have the same relationship with it as I do the other two. Hanover Camera's cool. It's got the it feels like a Boz Scaggs vibe to me, and that reminds me of Lido, which is always fun. Woes are almost as good as woos. And then Confusion in the Marketplace has, I don't want to dick around, I just want to devastate, which is how I feel when I'm getting to the show every night.
All right.
Perfect.
All right, Kev, you're up.
I'm going to take a different task, because to me, out of all of these, a song about a guy running on the field as a sports fan who goes to a lot of games is always fun for me, and I listen to that song quite often, so that will be my gold, is Flyover. I will give silver to Hanover, and I am going to give bronze to Confusion.
Okay. Any reason, or?
Honestly, track 10's on most records I don't necessarily give a lot of attention to, because it's so far and my attention span is short. But Flyover is a song I really get into, so I can give that my gold. And I'm going to go reverse chronological order then.
All right.
I feel attacked.
By the guy with the attention span of a gnat?
See?
I'm just joking.
It's a double whammy.
All right, Mike, you're up.
Ugh. Who made this game so difficult? Who came up with this stupid game?
This is your idea, dude.
So these are final tracks, and they always do something great on final tracks, so I think all these songs are just amazing. I think I'm agreeing with Kevin here. I'm going to go gold for Flyover Halftime, because, you know, I do football security as my part-time gig, and this is the only song that I think they'll ever sing about football security. And then for silver, I'm going to go over Hanover Camera. I agree with Buddy. It's got the Boz Scaggs sound to it. And I'm going to say something controversial again. Everybody says Lido Shuffle for Boz Scaggs. Everybody should listen to Boz Scaggs, The Lowdown. That's the most hold steadiest of their songs, because it's like about a deal that's gone wrong. So And it's got a really cool bass line to it. So I think everybody should listen to The Lowdown by Boss Gags. And then, God, I can't believe I'm giving a bronze to Confusion in the Marketplace, because that's one of my favorite songs off Thrashing Through the Passion, and that deserves so much better than a bronze, because it's an amazing song. And I, you know, I like the lines, I don't want to dick around, and I just want to devastate. And it just, yeah, I can't believe I'm giving a bronze to that. But that's the whole point of this game, is to make it difficult. So,
all right. That leaves me.
What do you got, Gasper?
So, I'll go in order right down the line. Hanover Camera gets the gold. That is such an awesome song. It's got such an awesome groove to it. That's probably one of my more favorite songs on that record. Plus, my wife is Heather. So, the Heather with the Heather on her hands is a particular line for me. I would go with Flyover Halftime as my silver. That is a fun song. I'm not a big sports guy, but I like the imagery there. I think I've said it before, I think that's going to be a lot of fun when they start doing it live. I could just picture how he's going to deliver that line. There's a fan on the field, and I feel like it's going to come as the most lifter-puller thing they do. At least that's how I think he's going to deliver it. And here's where I get a little controversial. Confusion in the Marketplace, as much as I love the line, I don't want to dick around, I just want to devastate. I mean, that's totally a T-shirt right there, but it's my least favorite song on that record.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry.
Hot take.
Yeah, Gasper's bringing the controversy right now.
I mean, he's just trying to get kicked out of the club. They're going to pull your card.
All right, so tally that up, Kev. What do we got?
Oh, I did. And for the first time, we have a tie. Both Flyover and... Right, because there's four of us. So Flyover and Hanover both have 9 points. And the clear-cut silver is Confusion in the Marketplace with 6. So
we have bronze, you mean?
Well, now if we tie it gold.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Yep.
You know, I was being nice and giving that one a promotion. But you could say bronze. But... Flyover and Hanover both got 9 points total.
Okay. So they're tied for first.
Which,
and then we have
with those point totals getting in... Right, we have a bronze. So just overall on records right now from the last time to this time, Open Door Policy is in the lead with 24 points. Price of Progress is second with 21 points. And Thrashing Through the Passions is bringing up the rear with 15 points.
All right, so let's roll for round two. 4. We have not done 4 yet.
Wow, right? We've had no repeats so far.
That's okay.
Awesome. So, Gasper, you just rolled track number, or you just rolled 4, so that's going to give us a track 4 showdown. And for Thrashing Through the Passion, I have Traditional Village.
Okay, and Family Farm for Open Door Policy.
And Understudies for the Price of Progress.
Right. Let's keep the order, buddy. You go first. If you really want
to dance, then... All right. This one's a little more difficult for me, I think. The bronze is going to have to be Traditional Village. That's kind of one that I enjoy, but haven't gotten into too much. And it's one... Where you gotta, I think that one's one where you gotta have the horns for it to be good live. It's just so much part of that song. Number two, or silver, is Understudies. I enjoy that one too. That one is really fun live. One of the sound checks where they did it, Steve like played it with the Pink Floyd riff and showed just how like similar it sounds, and so that. I've got a good memory of that. I think, I can't remember what city that was in, but it's always fun when they play, when like Steve or Tad play different stuff, just kind of noodling around during the sound check. And number one is Family Farm. It was the first single off of that. And that's in honor of my friend Phil Jones, who has a family farm up in Tennessee. Nice. Looking forward to seeing him in Chicago.
Awesome. All right, Kev.
Well, awesome.
My bronze for this one is Understudies. We talked about it when we talked about Price of Progress. Probably my least favorite song on that record. Took me a while to really get into it. It's okay now, but out of these other two, don't rate. I do give Traditional Village the silver, because that's one of the songs when I first got Thrashing Through the Passions, I remember listening to a bunch and kind of really got into, because Thrashing is not one of my favorite albums. It's like been a grower for me, but that's one I always seem to come back to. And Family Farm, to agree with Buddy, is clearly my gold. So we at least agree on the top billing.
I'll take it.
If that makes you feel better.
Mike?
Wow, we're going to end up fighting in the end here. So I'm giving my bronze to Traditional Village. It's out of these 30 songs we're covering the last three albums, it's probably the song I've spent the least amount of time with. It's probably the one that hits me. I mean, if we were going 1 through 30, it'd probably be 29 or 30 for me. And then for Silver, this will be a little controversial. I'm going with the Family Farm. It was the first release off Open Door Policy, and it kind of reminds me of Sideways Skull, which was the first release off The Price of Progress. Their first releases, it seems like lately, and then I know Confusion in the Marketplace. What was the first release off Thrashing Through the Passion?
Entitlement Crew.
So when they come out with their first releases, they kind of come out with the most hold-steadiest song and the kind of the most bombastic out of the album. And I'm going to say something controversial here, but I think Family Farm and Sideways Skull, which both great songs because I love the hold-steady, are maybe my least favorite songs off those albums, which just because those albums are so strong, I think. And then so that leaves, I go with the gold to Understudies. I think that's the most... I mean, Steely Dan it's maybe even has a stronger storyline than Steely Dan songs have. And I just love the storyline on that. And it's almost theatrical because it's about the theater. But I could see that being a one act play. So that gets my gold medal.
All right. So.
All right. And Gasper?
I'm kind of in agreement with Buddy here on the Traditional Village. I think he's right. It's. You do need the horns on that song, or it just kind of falls a little short. It's a good song, but it's not one of my favorites. So that's my bronze. And that's where it gets a little tougher, because I do really love Family Farm and Understudies both. I think Understudies is a perfect song. It's one of the best Hold Steady songs, I think, that they've written. It is such a great story, and it's so cinematic. I love the whole funk thing. But Family Farm, man, like that is definitely a banger. I think I'm going to have to go Silver for Understudies and Family Farm Gold. Although, interestingly enough, if you pulled the horns out of Family Farm, would it suffer the same problem? I'm not sure. I mean, because that song is, it's horns right on the record, right? Like, that's a big part of that song, but I still think it's the gold. So where does that
leave
us?
So I'm interested to see the scorecard here. We were all over the place on that. So.
We were. It seems like nobody cares about the story of the professor or the doctor or the waiter from Traditional Village. Those four characters get lost in the shuffle to you all. So Traditional Village got a 5, thanks to my 2 points. Otherwise, it would have been bronze across the board. Understudies got an 8 with... Mike being the only gold for that one. And then Family Farm was the clear-cut winner at 11.
Ooh. Okay. And I gave it a bronze, right? Or no, I gave it a...
No, you gave it silver.
And where does that leave us with the records now?
So, total for the records, Open Door Policy is clearly the front runner. For this week was the winner. And overall in the 2 weeks is the winner. Then followed by Price of Progress... was the silver this week and silver overall. And as I've alluded to, and I guess we sort of all know, Thrashing Through the Passion is bringing up the rear on this.
All right.
And substantially behind.
Well, some of the better songs are coming, so we'll see how that will switch up in the next couple of episodes. But that's going to be Diamonds in the Drain.
There were diamonds in the drain.
All right, so that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much, buddy, for being on the show. We really appreciate you coming on, man.
No, thanks. This was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. I'd like to thank Buddy for bringing us the full report on that weather scare in Austin, just kind of giving us the atmosphere for Austin. And I'd like to just thank you, the listeners. I mean, we've been looking at the numbers, and they've just been crazy lately. Where we do need a little help is I'm putting a link on the show notes here for SpeakPipe. So if you like the game we're playing, if you totally disagree with us on our choices, just click SpeakPipe and speak right into it, and you will hear your voice on the next episode, I promise. And then, Kevin, where can they find us at?
I mean, we are on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We appreciate everybody who's been checking it out. As Mike said, our numbers have been growing, and that's thanks to you, the listener, and telling your friends. And we ask you to keep doing that. If you like what you're hearing and enjoy the show, tell your friends, give us a like, a follow. We take retweets and shares, and we appreciate all that, because that helps us know that you guys are there. And you know, we enjoy what we do, and we appreciate that you enjoy what we're doing as well. So give us a like or a follow, and all of our stuff lives on our Linktree, which Gasper can get you into. And we'll see you soon.
Yeah, and if you're looking for that Linktree, the link is linktr.ee/thehoodratrecap. And I'm Gasper, that's Kevin, that's Mike, and that was Buddy. And us guys, and all you guys and gals, we are all the Hood Rat Recap Podcast.
Yeah. Killer buddies almost killed me.